Well, thank you, preacher, for everything. Yes. I got enough problems with my seeing anyway. I tell my wife, she reminds me I can't hear very well. And I say, well, thank God. I can't see and I can't hear, but I can drive. But anyway, wow. Man, the stage has already been set. Wow. You know what? We really could say amen. Because the Lord's already worked.
Yes, sir.
He's already worked in here and sure worked in my heart, I tell you. Hearing the testimonies and tears.
Yes, sir.
Emotion.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
Nothing wrong. I get concerned about people that can't.
Right. Amen.
You know. But anyway, thank you, preacher, for the accommodation. Thank you for the food. Well, it's been a long time since I ate breakfast that late. But it was good, and the preaching was good, all the preaching. And I think you were the brother that preached on the Holy Mind.
Heavenly Mind.
And my message this morning the Lord's got on my heart is the spiritual mind. Ken, I'll take it a few steps further.
Thank you, sir.
No correction, just adding to what you said there. And you other preachers as well. The spiritual mind. But if you will, go ahead and take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 14.
Amen.
Now, in my preaching in all these years, in my pastoring, I've said this, and I still believe it. My church was built on the Word of God. And I use a lot of scriptures.
Amen.
But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 14. And if y'all are accustomed to standing, then I want you to do exactly what your pastor normally would have. So let's read these. I'll read. You look along. I'll try not to highlight. I am an extemporaneous preacher, if you don't know what that means. We just run a lot of rabbit trails. That's what it means. But anyway... Thank you. I'll try to hold some of my things in till I get down into the message. But when I read these words, I know what I'm looking at. You don't know where my mind has been, so you'll have trouble. But let's read, and you look on in your scriptures. I might even highlight by elevating my voice a little bit on certain words in here, all right? There is therefore... Now, anyway, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now that means born again. All right.
That's right.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, not through the law, but through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us,
Amen.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
For they that are after the flesh do mind, tend to the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind, they tend to the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, and there's your message, is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject, it cannot be brought into subjection to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Right.
Well, you're in a body of flesh, but that's talking about carnally. All right?
Right.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, that's the indwelling of the Spirit. I'll get to that. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, means make alive. That's why your fingernail hurts right up here at the quick. You'll know you're alive if you mess with that place. Also quicken your mortal, that means dying, bodies by the Spirit, by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after. There's that word after, the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, from which we get mortician and all those other words, making stiff, all right, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Let me read that again. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, for the truth of it, the power of it. Thank you, Lord, that you send it out and it accomplishes what you want it to accomplish. I pray for that today. I pray, Lord, you'll give me, just give me the thoughts. Help me to say them the right way. Keep me from saying things I should not say. I pray that your power will be here, not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the reception of these hearts out here. And if there be one among us unsaved or unsure, I pray this will be the day that find themselves at an old-fashioned altar crying out in repentance and faith to receive Jesus. And we're going to thank you. Then, Lord, for those that are here, maybe, Lord, now, Lord, I don't know this, but you know every spiritual mind in here, and you know every carnal mind in here. And I just pray that, God, that you will minister and you'll do what you want to do in those places. I'm going to be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor when it's all said and done in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what you want to see, and I've highlighted for you, is, of course, verses 1, 4, 5, 12, 13 also. And I've underlined, and I always print out because I have trouble reading stuff. But anyway, that word after right there means to pursue. For example, whenever Shirley and I met years ago, 63, somewhere 64 in there, by the providence of God, put us together. I went after her. I mean, I pursued her. Right. That's right. And, well, you rascals, you know you did too. That's right, you did. By the way, neither one of us were saved, and I didn't tell you, but she got saved 2 years later. Brother Wright led her to Christ because she asked him some questions when he came to visit us. So she got saved 2 years later, and we're on the same page, and we've been on the same page ever since. But anyway, notice in verse 6, for to be carnally minded, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death,
right.
But to be spiritually minded is life in peace.
Amen.
So here's a big point that we want to get, and you probably already know it because this church is so used to preaching. I'm not going to say anything new, but there are only two states that a Christian can live in.
Go ahead.
And one of them is not the state of confusion.
Amen.
And one of them is not the state of sin.
Right.
But there are only two states that a Christian can live in, and that's either in the carnal state or the spiritual state.
Right.
And by the way, a carnal mind will always gravitate toward carnality and other carnal people. And a spiritual mind will always gravitate toward people that are spiritual. That's why sometimes you have conflict in families, and we've heard a little bit about that this morning. But there are only those two states that people can live in. Now, I need to point out that even though at salvation we become spiritual beings, we can still live in those two states. Because just because you become a spiritual being does not mean that you have now the spiritual mind. So here's the problem. Here's the process. And that is this. When we get saved, now we are a spiritual being, but we don't really have that spiritual mind. We want to do all we know, but we don't know all yet that we need to do. So here's what happens. So God intends that when we get saved, we get under the Word of God, and as the man of God preaches the Word of God, teaches the Word of God, it's like the foundation is laid in Christ, but now we're laying brick and mortar spiritually.
Sure. Amen.
Now, so I don't know where you are, but I know this. If you're saved, you are a spiritual being.
Right.
And you are, in other words, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You now have the new nature.
Amen.
And you're never going to lose the new nature.
That's right.
And the Holy Ghost of God is never going to leave you. But there's a problem. Neither does that old carnal nature. It's still in you, and you're going to see it in the Bible in just a few minutes. You're going to see it. You already know where it is. But anyway, so here we are. We're spiritual beings. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We have this new nature, and we still have to grow and mature. Book of Hebrews, I'll give you in just a minute, tells us. We still have to mature, but what happens is by exercising our spiritual mind, we exercise that spiritual mind, and it grows stronger and stronger and better and better to overcome that spiritual nature that's still in us. If you tell me you don't have the spiritual, if you don't have, I should have said carnal nature, you still have the carnal nature, if you think you don't have it, stop at a red light behind somebody that's on their cell phone, the light changes and you're there. Is there anybody in here that is so perfect that you... Amen. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit of God is in us, the new nature is in us, but so is that old carnal nature.
Yep.
Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and this preacher, you preached on this, every preacher I know that's preached for any time has preached on this. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm refreshing us. Listen, if you will. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, stop. Who's he talking to? Lost people or saved people?
Saved
people. He calls them brethren. Why does the man of God, under the Holy Ghost of God, have to pin down, write out, I'm talking about under inspiration, tell saved people to do what we read next? Let's read it. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, here's what I know. Since he called them brethren, they're already saved. They've already presented themselves under conviction and repentance and faith. They've already committed to receiving Christ. But what I know about this, what we see about this, he's telling brethren, you need to present. We need to present. We have to present. Let's go on. A living sacrifice. He doesn't want a dead one.
Yep.
In the Old Testament, they present them live, they were killed. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Can I tell you this? We can't get to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God without the spiritual mind. You're not going there. You can't get there. You and I cannot get there. No one goes out of the will of God with the spiritual mind.
Amen.
Never. If you're thinking, well, I've done it before, you never have. Because the carnal mind is what got you there.
Right.
Let me prove it to you from a couple of people. Number one was Demas. Not turning there. But Demas walked with Paul.
Yep.
I'm talking about, hey, Demas was in there, in crowd, heard him pray, heard him witness. He heard him preach. He heard everything.
Yep.
That's when he was with the spiritual mind. You know good and well, Paul wasn't going to take him around and all that, and him with a carnal mind and him always gravitating. But There was a day when Demas forsook Paul, and we're told why. Having loved this present world. That's what the Bible says. So Demas is with Paul. He's seeing this. He's seeing what's the transformations. He's hearing the word of God. He's hearing the witnessing. He's hearing the praying. He's hearing it all. He's like people that sit in churches like this.
Go ahead.
But that carnal mind. And by the way, it's never without our will. I'll show you this later. You never go from a spiritual-minded person to a carnal-minded person without your will.
Amen.
If you could, you could blame God with it for leaving you with a carnal mind.
Right.
Are y'all listening to that? You could not blame. I had a good friend. Met him when I got saved in the little church. We became great friends. He and his wife both are dead now. But you know what? You know what he would do when he would have failure in his life? And by the way, I'm not talking about sexual failure, immorality. I'm just talking about habits of life and stuff. He'd say, well, the Lord knows my frame. Now, you know what happens when somebody says that? They might as well stick their finger in God's face and say, you're the reason that I'm this way.
Yeah.
No, it's not God's fault that we're the way we are.
Right.
No, it's not. It has to do with our mind.
Amen.
It has to do with our will. There was another one too, the prodigal son, and you young people need to listen to this. Prodigal son, and I won't go there. But you know, if you boil all the stuff off and bring down the prodigal son to just a statement, here is the statement. The prodigal son's mind was in the far country before he ever made one step.
That's right.
And if your mind goes to the far country first, it's not far till you go there.
That's right. Amen.
Now, the good thing about the father is he let some stuff happen because that was his son. And he brought him back. And he came back humbled and repentant and right.
Amen. Amen.
Those are examples. So let's deduct from Romans 12, 1 and 2, two things, and I'll move on. Number one, it takes a presentation in order to have a transformation. How many people have we led to Christ? They accepted Christ. We believe them. They might have followed through with baptism. Right? But we didn't see the transformation take place.
Yep.
And if you talk to them, they say, I'm saved. I've done that, and I believe with my heart that I'm saved. But it takes a presentation. Present.
Amen.
In order to have a transformation. Second thing is this one, and that is this. It is impossible to be transformed and conformed at the same time. It won't work. If you are transformed, you're changed. You know what trans means, don't you? How many people came in a car?
Yep.
You got a transmission. You know what that transmission does? How many mechanics in here? I can't teach you anything. But there's a transmission between the motor and the rear end, and that's why you go.
Yep.
You must be a mechanic too. No. But you understand how those things work. So number two is this. It's impossible to be transformed and conformed at the same time. Transform means change the form. That's what it means.
It,
I never correct the Bible. I just let it correct me.
It,
so listen, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, and 3. And I, brethren, now this is Paul talking to Corinth. I preached about them the other night. I could not. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it.
Right.
Neither yet now are you able. You can't take preaching. That's what he's talking about. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions. He asked, it's a rhetorical. Okay? In other words, it doesn't have to have an answer. It is an answer. And ye, are ye not carnal and walk as men? What does it mean to be walk as men? Just be like anybody else.
Right.
That's what it means. In other words, instead of walking like saints and walking like born again saved people, you're walking like men.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Common man. Just anybody else. That's what he's talking about. Anyway, no meaningful change. That's what he's talking about. And by the way, he said, I'm still feeding you milk. That little baby I've been watching, the little baby over there, I've been watching them. They couldn't handle what you handled last night.
Right.
Nor me. But whenever they take enough of what they're taking, there comes a time when they can take meat.
Yes.
You know the people that can't take meat? This is not a big revelation. It's the people who've been saved long enough to grow.
Amen.
But they haven't.
That's right.
By the way, I don't know any of you. I don't know where you are in your life. I am not accusing you. If you're feeling accusation in your heart, it's not from me.
Go ahead.
One of the preachers said something about the dog that got hit. Was one that barked or something the other night, I heard. I can't remember. But anyway, Anyway. So there are two states that say people can live in, carnal and spiritual. So Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now listen to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world."
Amen.
"And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."
Amen.
Well, notice, if you will, are can you close enough to get to Romans chapter 7? Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see this. I know you know it. Let's just refresh again. Paul spoke under inspiration in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not." Now, he's not giving excuses. He's giving explanation. "But what I do hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Paul is not saying I'm living out in sin. He's saying there is a problem that I've got, and it's a carnal nature still in me. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So verse 21 is the subject. "I find then a law." It is a spiritual law that he's explaining, not one of the laws of the Old Testament.
Right.
"That when I would do good..." You probably need to underline this right here for the rest of your life. This is going to be true about you and I. "Evil is present with me." And what that means is there's nobody ever comes to a place of spiritual maturity to the point that where evil is not present with them. Or the ability to fall back, go back, or fall into sin.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
amen.
Just keep that in mind. "So I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." That inward man, that's that one that's deeper down in here. "But I see another law in my members." What's that other one doing? "Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So here's what we need to deduct out of this, and that is this: if we want to sin, the opportunity is there. It will always present itself.
Yes, sir.
And for these young people, I preach to young people all the time. I have preached. Our church was made up of a lot of young people because we had military families coming in and going out, you know, all the time. I spent a lot of time, a lot of effort in sending camps and all this. There are motors in young people that can be started by a carnal nature. But if the spiritual nature is not there, there is the... Who was the preacher that preached on wreck and ruin the other night? Preacher right there. Brother Holyfield. Your message is right on. Every young person in America should hear that message. And... Well, I could tell you right now, there was a man in my church. God used me to give him a warning, brother. I can't tell you right now. And honestly, I knew God was in it. And I told him, I said, "Look, your way's not working." It was about alcohol, social drink. And I said, with yours, I need to get back to my message. But with your problem is you don't never know how far you're going and how you're going to get hurt or if you're going to be killed. Would you believe in 2 months he was dead? Shot dead. Murdered. Because he was in the wrong place, wrong people, wrong, just wrong.
My.
So, young people, you this is older people too. This thing's going. There's more and more old codgers, old men, 70s. You know, in this, I'm 78, in their 70s, that are falling into sin.
Yes, sir.
You never get too old for that. And these guys, if they're not attempting to live with a carnal mind, with a spiritual mind, they have a carnal nature. Satan will use anything on anybody that doesn't have the will. The will. You got to have the will to have the spiritual mind. I got to get those straight. Anyway. So Paul spoke there in Romans 7, verse 14 through 25, and he talked about that war that goes on. If you tell me I am never, ever tempted, you're telling me the Spirit of God is falling down on His ministry. Because there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are
able,
but will also with the temptation make what?
Way to escape.
Yeah. There's a way to escape. There's always a way to escape. So, evil is always present. There's always going to be an opportunity in this for all of us, but especially these young people understanding it. Satan will always try to get you tempted off the straight and narrow. So what does it take? And I'll be done in a few minutes, but what does it take to develop that spiritual mind? Some people think it's more learning, and that's a part of it. But I know some people know more than I do. Much more than I do. They didn't get there. I told preacher before the service he said, do you need anything? I said, yeah, prayer, because there was a brother back there that said something along the line that he didn't want to hear a preacher that didn't know as much as he knew. I thought, hey, brother, I appreciate that. Makes me want to do better. But anyway. So how is that spirit? We want to be interested and we want to know, how is the spiritual mind developed? Well, it's surely not staying home on Sunday.
Amen.
Oh, well, okay, I'll leave that alone for a minute. Number one, you have to receive truth.
Amen. Amen.
Number two, you have to believe truth.
Yep.
Number three, this is so simple. You got to respond to it.
Amen.
It's not complicated.
Yep.
It's just not complicated. I got some more things to say in just a bit. But anyway. So Romans chapter 8, verse 11 through 13 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh. You don't owe your flesh anything except food. Are you listening? It's the truth. That's right. Keep breathing. Keep eating. Keep breathing.
Amen. That's
it. That's right. That's right. Whew. Let me get back. Where was I? Not to the flesh. There it is, verse 12. To live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify. Now, have you ever thought about mortifying?
Yeah.
Did you know what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 15? I think it's verse 35. I don't have it all memorized. He said, I die daily.
Yes, sir.
You know what he meant? The Apostle Paul, as much as I appreciate the Apostle Paul, thank God for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul knew this, and we just read it in chapter 8, chapter 7 of Romans. He knew he had a carnal nature still.
Sure.
And what he's saying is every day he had to deal with that truth, and that is any day of his life, he could become another carnal failure.
Sure.
So every day he had to get up and say in his heart, you're dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ, with Christ in God.
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. Amen.
It's our part is that crucifixion. Yeah. Christ has already been crucified for us, but now, you know that Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, when he talks about presenting? Well, when we do that, we just dealt with flesh, because the last thing flesh wants to do is to get on an altar.
That's right.
Let's go on. So I dealt with there. How do you get it? How do you do this? Well, you got to receive the truth, believe the truth, and respond to the truth, and mortify. You got to say, well, that's true of me, and that's got to be true.
Amen.
And you do it. But now I got to deal with this. Now I only got 2 points under this right here, and I'll be done. Of course, I got 6 points under that point, but anyway. Anyway. What are the evidences of a spiritual mind? This is where the rubber meets the road. Oh, boy. By the way, I welcome you to add some, because I surely didn't get them all. What are they? What are the evidences of a spiritual mind? Number one. There is a desire to please God and magnify Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Top of the list.
That's right.
Say, I want to please my preacher. That's wonderful, but if you don't want to please God first, you're not going to please him.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Y'all win?
Good. Yes, sir.
A desire to honor God, magnify Jesus Christ. Anyway, number two. There is a desire to go against the old nature.
Amen.
If you like what your body craves and your carnal mind craves, then you're never going to be a spiritual minded person. Won't happen. But if you enjoy winning the victories of life,
come on, sure.
That's a pretty good point.
Yes, sir.
Number three, there is a desire to be a servant of God to others.
Amen.
And that's both lost and saved.
Yep, yep.
Number four, there is a desire to be a testimony and a light in this world. I wrote down a thought the other day. I'll come back. I wrote down a thought the other day. Remember those verses, let your light so shine? Don't hide it under a basket. My message is, get out from under the basket. There's some people still living under the basket, under the bushel. Get out from under that thing.
Amen.
Not to show yourself off, but to show Christ off, you know? Right? That's what he's talking about. I think that was number four. Number five is there is a desire to win against the battle of our will. You know, sometimes you got to say no to yourself. Did you know probably the most important word in your vocabulary is no? And did you know that the first word that Satan came out of Satan, of the serpent's mouth, was yea? That is the truth. You go look at it. The very first word... He was a psychologist. Right. Yes is an affirming thing. Yea, hath God said. He set her at ease, and you know what Eve did? Yea, hath God said. You watch out for all those yeses, because they're not always good. My best friend at the time was killed on the night I heard him say yes. We'd been to a ball game, South Georgia, rode the bus to somewhere, came back. There's a little diner in town, the only thing there are, just two grocery stores and a little store. We were in there, and Johnny Henderson's first cousin was Alfred. Alfred had not been on the bus. He showed up in his souped-up moonshine car. And he put in with Johnny to go with him. And I heard what was going on. Johnny's girlfriend, Patty, was there. And Johnny kept resisting and saying no and saying no. And finally he won. Alfred won. He got in that car, 56 Ford, I think it was. Beautiful car. Got in that car. They were going out of Satanville, which is right there at Valdosta. And they were going, it's out in the country, and there's a railroad track. It's dark. It's dark, dark o'clock. And there's a railroad track out in the middle of nowhere. You know how railroad tracks sometimes are elevated a little bit? When they hit that railroad track. There was a mule in the road in the dark of night. They hit that mule. He rolled up on the hood and on the car, caved the top end on Johnny, my friend, demolished his face, killed him. You know why all that happened? He did not say no. He did not say no. One of the most important words in your vocabulary, and this is not to your parents.
Amen.
This is for parents to say to their kids mostly.
Yeah.
That is no. So, number five, there is a desire to win against the battle of our will. Number six, there is a desire to live in harmony and in peace with God and man. You watch out for people that are always in conflict. There are people that thrive on it. They just thrive on it. A spiritual-minded Christian will make decisions based on faith.
Amen.
Not feelings.
That's right.
James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. That's not talking about just his words. It's talking about his manner of living. His works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't get glad about that. Lie not against the truth. The truth is going to tell you that Spirit of God is going to say this is wrong. Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16. For where envy and strife is,
yep,
there is confusion,
yep,
and every evil work.
Amen.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure,
yes,
then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated,
amen,
full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Every
church problem and every problem that a Christian has in their Christian life is a failure that can be traced back to the lack of having a spiritual mind.
Amen.
Church problems happen because people do not have a spiritual mind.
That's simple as that.
It actually relates to the fullness of the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, what it's talking about. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. I'll be done in just a minute. It's what, 10 after 12 or so? You ready? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. That's what's going on here now, I suppose, to discern both good and evil.
Amen. Amen.
Reason of use. Exercise to discern. The spiritual mind is not developed in us because of effort. I'm just going to do it. No, you got to hear the truth, believe the truth, apply the truth, respond to it. Mortify that flesh. I've got just a couple more things. I got to say them. The Apostle Paul stated in Acts chapter 24, verse 16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God.
Amen.
And toward man. Here's what we all need to do. You can't remember all those that I said, but that should be part of a checklist that I gave out just a minute ago. Can I tell you this? The spiritual mind wants to be fed truth.
Yes.
The spiritual mind will always, always, always want. They have an appetite. The spiritual mind has an appetite.
Amen.
For biblical truth.
That's right.
But let me tell you about that carnal mind and that carnal flesh. And I'll just give this to you, and I'm gone. I'm quitting. All right. This is the carnal mind. What the carnal mind wants is to be free and be first and be full. That's what the carnal mind wants. It wants to be free. Don't tell. That preacher's not going to tell me how I'm going to dress.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't mean to destroy the church. I hope that's not a sign. Let me say it one more time. The carnal mind wants to be free, wants to be first, and wants to be full. Your flesh will never get enough.
That's right.
Never get enough of sin. And if you think you reach a place where your flesh is not going to be a problem, that's when your problem is going to begin. You can never trust it. You can never have confidence. Don't ever put confidence in your flesh. The spiritually minded person is not offended at conviction. But you know what? That carnal minded person does not like correction.
That's right. Amen.
That's the last time I go there. I go to the... What's all these things I see? They give them weird names so you don't ever know what denomination they are. The Vineyard. I came by a vineyard the other day. It was nothing in the world but a place where they make wine. But anyway, most dangerous, this is my last. The most dangerous thing that a Christian can do is live with a carnal mind in a carnal world.
Yes, sir.
The most dangerous. That's the most dangerous. The spiritual mind is filled with the Spirit, filled with joy, and filled with the fruits of righteousness.
Amen.
If you're here and you're unsaved, we don't expect you to understand. We really don't expect you to understand. And why? It's because things like this are spiritually discerned. And if you're thinking, I didn't understand this, it could be because you don't have the teacher inside.
Amen.
You don't have the Spirit of God inside. Because He's going to teach you and He's going to guide you into all truth. And you'll pick up the pieces of the Word of God as the preacher gives them out under the leadership of the Spirit of God. And one by one, you'll take those truths in, assimilate them like you assimilate food in your body, and you'll grow. And you'll make it. You'll make it through. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Let me preach one more time. I don't claim I have arrived anywhere, Lord, except that I want to. I feel like I want to be like Paul. I reach forth unto those things which are before. I know this, Lord. I got to keep growing, and I got to keep knowing, and I got to keep learning, and I got to keep saying no, and I've got to keep standing. I know that. I do pray, God, I can finish like the Apostle Paul said, finish my course with joy. I pray, Lord, today, if there be anybody in here unsaved or unsure, I pray this will be their day. Or if there's somebody in here, Lord, I don't know these people. I just know that they're kind. I can tell there's a good spirit here. But it could be there's somebody here that you've already pointed out, Lord, through something in their life that they don't have that spiritual mind. And it's only a few steps, Lord, away from, Lord, it's just a few steps away from that safety. And, Lord, that hard place in life. If that be the case, Lord, and there be somebody here today that is saved, but they're just knowing that they're just not right with you, I pray this will be the day they'll find themselves on an old-fashioned altar saying, Lord, I want to develop that spiritual mind. I want to love the things of God. I want to magnify and glorify you. I want to be a good witness and a testimony. I don't want to win these battles, those old fiery darts that Satan sends to me. And, Lord, I'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.